Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Tuesday, April the 24th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And I have to say, Wendy, I'm happy for a second day because a second straight day, I've got beautiful weather to go walking in. It was another lovely day. And as long as this keeps going, I'm going to be happy for the rest of the year. How are you doing?
You know, it's good. But you know what my true desire is for you?
Not that
I can create in your world, is that you find a place inside of yourself to allow every day to be a beautiful day, no matter what the weather is doing. Like when you look at the weather, you go, I love this because it's cloudy. I love this because it's raining. I love it because it's sunny. I love it because it's sleeting. You know,
but
I can't wait for you to.
I especially love it when it's the way I love it.
Well, and that's a totally cool preference. Totally cool.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't realize how much I think about the weather in the terms that I think about the weather until you talk about the weather almost every day.
Yeah, what's a nice quick way?
I don't even focus on weather. And I'm like, how is it I don't focus on it? Because Walt talks about it. So what am I missing?
You're not missing
anything. So I started paying attention. So every morning, my ritual is when I come downstairs and, you know, get something to drink in the morning, I always go and open my front door to see what the day is like. And every day I think to myself, I love the weather today, regardless what the weather is. And I started going, wow, I wonder if I've always thought that way. But nonetheless, that's what I think. Every day is a wonderful, beautiful day when it comes to weather.
Well, I have a confession to make. Do you know why I talk about the weather when I start off a show?
Tell me.
Because it's easy. I don't have to think about it. And it is something to easily like. You know, you can just kind of jump right into it. Because I'm always looking. Well, you're the one who says you're looking for everything to be easy. Here's one way I'm trying to make everything easy.
There you go.
It's all about the weather.
I just realized I like hardly ever talk about the weather. You know, unless there's some specific reason I have to get out into weather and it's something that's inclement and I have to do all sorts of precautionary things, you know, but normally weather is just weather. And I don't know. It's just funny. Certainly not making anybody wrong for thinking about weather and talking about weather. It was just something that came to my awareness. That's all.
I also wanted to mention, I got a text message today from one of our listeners who's been a call-in person a few times. Lucy sent me a couple of messages and we exchanged some conversation. And she made a comment that I just wanted to include here. She described the richness of our show. And I thought, wow, what a great adjective that is. I mean, the richness of it. Actually, it's more like an adverb in that sense. But I mean, it's just, it was a delicious word. So I had to share that one.
One of my favorite words. So thank you, Lucy, for you know, finding our show to be so rich. I'm thrilled with that.
I like that one. I mean, I'm thinking, how do we include that in like a positioning statement or something? But I don't know. It's just such a good word.
It's a juicy word.
It's juicy, yeah. Yeah, very juicy. It kind of brings to mind, like, you know, rich velvety cake or something like that.
So I wanted to share about, I started telling you about it before the show, but I want to really enrich it. I'd like to enrich the story by sharing it with our listeners. We know in the last couple of days I've been, I had applied for a new merchant account.
Right.
And so it got approved yesterday, which to me is record timing. Very pleased with that.
Great.
Then I, you know, clicked on some of the links to go figure out, you know, how to use the system. Because what I'm trying to do is just create a link that I can put in an email, send it to potential clients and say, you know, once we've set up our appointment time, go ahead and make your payment by clicking on this. And it's all done online.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that would require a little bit of designing, if you will, on my part, where I have to enter what I want it to be, et cetera. So I go click into the system last night and I get things activated. And I wasn't finding what I thought I should find. Because I'd mentioned a year ago I had a merchant account. So I kind of knew what I should be finding, even if it's a different system.
Sure. Yeah.
So I called customer service and the guy was very, very nice. Which doesn't surprise me because I now match up with nice people because my intention now, and I say that deliberately now versus before, is to go into these kinds of discussions knowing that it could be tedious, there could be some problems, but I'm going to stay in as joyful place as I can, because it does not benefit me to get upset or angry, because then it causes me to be upset and angry for a long time after the call is over. And so I learned that a long time ago, don't go there. So I do everything I can to really stay in a good place in terms of not letting frustrations kind of get under my skin. And so anyway, if that should be the case. So anyway, I talked to this guy and he said, well, don't you see this link called hosted pages? And I said, no. And he kept saying, are you sure? And I'm like, no. He goes, well, what are you seeing? So I explained, and he's like, that link's not there. So he scratches his head. He puts me on hold. He comes back, asks me another question, puts me on hold. This went back and forth for a long time.
Mm.
And finally he said, do you see the help button in the upper right? I said, yes. And he said, click on that. I went, okay. So I click, and I said, okay, you know, I have a little bar that says loading. It's still loading. It's loading. And then I said, should it take this long to load? He goes, I don't know. Which I'm thinking, I don't know is not a response that makes me feel really like I'm in good hands.
not the ideal one, no.
Yeah. So, you know, bottom line, for the next 20 minutes, I tried this on two different computers. I tried it with three different browsers. You know, and he's like, can you clear your cache? And I'm like, done it, did it, trust me, know how to get do that. And he goes, well, everything looks okay on my end, which, again, and what does that mean to me? Because it doesn't look okay on my end. So I think 30 minutes into the conversation, I have to say, even at this point, the fact that I'm not wanting to rip someone's head off and I'm really still in a happy place.
That's a good thing, yeah.
It's kudos for Wendy. It's
absolutely.
I've come a long way, baby.
Very good.
So I was intuiting that there was something on the back end, meaning something I have no control over, where I was not set up in their system properly. And so I said that. I go, I have a feeling there's some specific programming, something that just like someone didn't flip a certain switch for me to get all the entitlements I'm supposed to get. And he goes, no, I don't think that's the case, because I'm talking to my IT guy here, and he says everything's okay on our end. And so I said, well, sometimes a system has to cycle. There are certain cycles, and maybe because I just got this, you know, approved, maybe I jumped in too quickly, and the whole system hasn't cycled to give me all my entitlements. And he said that didn't sound right to him. And so I'm thinking, well, okay. I know what I know. It does sound right to me. And now the reason I'm sharing this is because to me, this is law of attraction. Mm-hmm. This is my intuitive gut feel felt like I really did understand, maybe not the specific knowledge of how the IT part worked, but there was something not set up right yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we both decided I would just let it rest overnight, see how it cycled overnight, and I'd call back in the morning if there was a problem.
Okay.
So I have to say, first of all, I got off the phone feeling so proud of myself because all people were intact. Nobody got hurt. I didn't scratch anyone's eyes out. And I was feeling really good.
That's good.
And I continued to say to myself, you know what? Everything's working out fine. I'm not in a hurry. It's all good. It's all going to happen in the right timing. And I knew I meant that. I wasn't just trying to get into the place of believing it. I knew I really meant it. So that in itself was a great feeling.
Sure. Yeah.
So this morning, I come in, you know, come to my computer and try to access a couple things, and still nothing was working. So I call the guy back, and he must be the only person there because it was the same guy who answered the phone. And I said, hey, it's me again.
Well, he was waiting for you, you know.
He must have been. So anyway, there was a different system that, you know, that was an easy fix. I was just clicking on, I didn't know if I was a partner or a merchant. And he goes, well, you're neither. You're supposed to just click the sign in button. I'm like, oh, easy. And then I got in. That one was well. And I went, yay, okay, we got that one done. Now let's go back to the one we were working on yesterday. I said, still not working. So here's the cool thing, Walt. First of all, I was working at my day job while I'm doing this, but I didn't have anything pressing at my day job. But I didn't feel the liberty to stay away from my day job for long. So I felt like I was under a little bit more time pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where yesterday I was done with the day job when I called.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he starts saying, you know, goes, honestly, I've checked with everyone on my end and everybody here is able to log in as you and everything's loading properly. And this time I could hear in my head, my internal dialogue of where I wanted to go with what I wanted to say next. And it sounded so much like what I used to do when I was just rabidly ugly to people. And I thought, no, I can use the same words, but I can do it with a different intention. So I'll explain before and after so you know what happened.
Okay.
So in the before, I would have started being very demanding, saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to accept this, and this is what you need to do for me. And I would have gotten very insistent and very ugly. And of course, my energy would have done ugly as well.
Sure.
But this time, I felt that it was okay to use the same intensity in my voice, but with the intention of getting him to recognize what I'm saying, that it is not okay. And so what came out of my mouth was, I understand that the tech guy next to you is saying it's all okay, but bottom line, if I've used two computers and three browsers, it's not okay. It's not a problem on my end. And I said, the response of you saying everything's okay is not acceptable. It's absolutely not acceptable. And I said, the fact that you don't know what to tell me is also not acceptable because I'm a consumer of your product. And even if you're telling me everything looks okay on your end, my expectation, and I think most customers' expectations, would be that you would be able to help me walk through my system to check on certain things so we could get the system to be where it needs to be so I can click on the appropriate button.
I have to admit, I was waiting for the screen session, and there was no announcement of a screen session. So I'm thinking, so when do we do the screen session?
Which I also said to him, I said, I don't believe your company has set you up for success if you do not have the ability to do a screen share.
Okay.
The fact that, because he's told me, he said, I can log into your system, but I can't create on your behalf. And I said, well, do you have some screen sharing software so that you can see what I'm doing and walk me through it? And he said, no. And I said, then your company did not set you up for success. And I said, perhaps that's something you can run up the chain and suggest, because I think it will be very helpful to both you and to me and all your future customers. And he was like a little bit persuaded by my saying he needed to do something, but I could tell he didn't know what to do. And he was still, he'd put me on hold. He'd talk to his IT guy. He'd come back and he stuck with the story because this is what he was being told.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's okay on our end. And so I decided to pull something out of my back pocket. I'm not an IT person. I am, however, IT savvy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, even though I'm an executive admin at my job, I said, look, I work at the world's largest IT research firm. And that part is true.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm around IT all the time. And I know that what I'm saying to you is accurate. It's not a problem on my end. There's something on the back end that needs to be fixed. And I said, can you escalate my ticket? Can you escalate my issue to somebody who can fix it? Because I'm telling you, I know it's broken.
Very nice.
And somehow at that point, he said, can you hold again? He went and talked to his people. And when he came back, he said, I'm going to have a level two technician call you and figure out what the problem is. And now he was actually admitting there was a problem. So I'm like, wow, I got through to him.
Well,
I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I never said anything to him that would make him feel like I have made him less than who he is. I was very grateful and appreciative for the help. I even said, thank you so much for your help. And his response was, I don't know what I really did to help you. And I was thinking, yes, he was helpful because he didn't get angry.
Mm-hmm.
He was helpful because he received my energy, which was just simply, please really hear what I'm saying because I'm going to educate you. And then, so anyway, we finally, this is so cool. Before we hang up, he goes, oh, my guy's asking you to please refresh. And I did. Boom, it was fixed. And I said, so in other words, somebody did something different and we got a different result. And he went, I guess so. And I'm like, awesome. This is awesome. So then I started to go and do what I was trying to get accomplished, which is go customize my link. And while we were in there, he kind of wasn't able to help me much. And I said, I kind of expected that you would be able to walk me through this. And he goes, no, I really don't know that. It's kind of a new system for us. But I'll try to help you the best I can.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
And I went, well, honestly, I'm pretty intuitive with the system. I'll probably be able to figure it out on my own. And I said, while you put me on hold multiple times, I kind of had been figuring out some things. And I will tell you, this is the ugliest page I've ever seen. I said, I'm not trying to be cruel. It's just, it's ugly. It literally is intended for me to design it. And I really expected it where, like, there was one or two or three templates from which to choose from, and then I would maybe customize it. And he went, that is such a great idea.
Okay.
And he goes, I'm going to share that with my company. That's an awesome idea to have a prefab template that you can customize.
Uh-huh.
And I just laughed. I said, well, I'm so happy that I could give you some positive things. And I mean, can you tell? I had a good conversation
you did.
With this man.
You did. And commendably so. I do have a couple questions for him. Like, what year is it?
I wasn't going to go down that road.
That's good. Yeah. No, I wouldn't. But you're right. I mean,
but no, I get that because my thought was the same. So we hang up and I'm thinking to myself, wow, one, kudos to me, because it could have potentially been a road to frustration that would have made me kill someone, either himself, me, or both of us.
I do like the fact, though. I love the fact that you did get him to admit that there was second level tier support.
Yes.
After he had said there was nothing he could do. That part, I love that part.
But, you know, this is why I know love attraction and my inner being are always working on my behalf. Because I felt like I was getting guidance as to how to proceed, and I was proceeding accordingly without making a big, ugly deal.
Yeah.
I was just firm because I did know what I knew.
That was good.
And I'm like, but he doesn't know what I know.
Nope.
So internally, I was asking, so how do I help him to know what I know in a way that doesn't make him look bad or feel bad? Because I want to continue working with him. You know, I don't want to have him feel like, oh my God, she was such a horrible woman. And, you know, I didn't want to do that. That's what I used to do. You know, it used to be, can I talk to your supervisor? And it's like, I don't want to do that. I want to be a nice person everywhere I go. But when I got off the phone, Walt, what I was thinking about was not only kudos to me, and not only this could have gone in a really, really, really bad direction, but the fact that I got my own guidance as to what was going on, even though he was not aware of it, was kind of cool to me.
Well, yeah, because especially in the middle of that. I mean, you're in the middle of what could potentially be a very emotionally heated situation, and yet you were able to allow it through. That's really good.
So that was one cool piece. But then I thought, but there were still just a couple niggles in there that I'm like, that weren't like what I would call a smooth sailing.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, I'm pretty used to smooth sailing now. And so I thought, what am I bringing to the table that makes it not smooth? And then this idea popped up of so many customer service calls I've had before.
Oh, sure.
I do have a desire to help people, companies, systems, groups, whomever I'm talking to improve upon what they have. Because I'm kind of a process perfection. Not perfection. What's the word? I'm a process improvement expert. That's really what I do. Give me any process and I can improve upon it and make it better and more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I've done in every company I've ever worked for.
Okay.
They give me what they have and then I go, oh, this could be so much better. And my boss will always say, then go at it. And I do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've realized that almost every time I work with a company that maybe is in an embryo stage of development, or, and this kind of felt like at least this business unit was still in a fledgling area, I like to bring improvements to somebody's awareness. And so, like, I actually walked away from this feeling good because, one, I suggested that they create templates, prefab templates, and two, I suggested that they get the software that allows you to do a desktop share. And so I went, that's because of my desire to make things better. That's, I believe, what I brought to the table today and why the energy maybe wasn't smooth. Because if all their systems were perfect, I'd have nothing to do to help them.
True.
And I really do like to help. However, I'm going to reassess that idea. I don't know that I want to help improve every system that I touch.
I think that's a good idea, like, actually, to reassess that. Because I can tell you from my own experience, once the universe gets the idea that you're a problem solver, it loves to mm-hmm. send more problems your way.
Well, remember I told you the story where Esther would just happen to be the person who, when somebody said, "Do you have a coat hanger?" because I locked
yes.
myself out of my car.
Right.
There came a point that she was running into three people a day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry mm-hmm. finally said, "Esther, might you want to leave the coat hanger at home?"
Yes, right.
And that it was like, oh, yeah, because now this is kind of encroaching upon our life.
Yeah.
It's no longer just the incidental feel-good experience to help somebody out. Now it's becoming a burden and an
mm-hmm.
obligation.
Yeah.
And so that's the reason I'm telling this story, because there were so many levels of how law of attraction was at play within the whole experience. And I love the experience. I love it for what I've learned. Even knowing I still have to go back into the system and doctor up a few things, because I did start designing my, you know, online invoice. I don't have what I would call the old, oh my God, I can't take it that I have to go through this. Why isn't it just easy? Why don't they just make it simple that it's plug and play? My God, we're at 2018, you know. Instead, it's like, all right, you know, the good news is I have the ability to do it. And so why am I being such a jerk? And I'm not right now, but that's kind of like what I was thinking about. I've been comparing the past and the current situation because it feels night and day different.
Mm.
It's kind of like now I'm living in the sunny blue skies of Walt's favorite happy weather versus the gloom and doom hurricane / tornado sleet, snow and hail experience.
Which, by the way, we love also. We love those too.
Yes. So anyway, things are moving along. And in a way, that's my Project X update for today.
Okay.
Things are moving and grooving and it feels good. And I'm having this overwhelming sense of I'm so ready to be doing this on a more full-time level.
Mm.
I'm willing to say this out loud. I'm wanting to find a way to exit my day job.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have withheld that sentence from putting it out into the public air since we started Project X.
I think also it isn't just exiting the job. You want to move completely into this new thing that you're building up. That's really,
absolutely.
That's what you want. That's the big thing right there. You want to do that regularly.
Right. Because all I've been talking about so far is the moving into the something new.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once upon a time on many shows, I talked about a door that needed to close.
Mm-hmm.
And the door that needed to close was my current job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anybody from my current job was listening, it would not be something that is surprising at all.
Oh, okay.
Probably the one person that I could think of that really might be listening to the show. I don't know. It was a number of years ago. We were having a conversation. It was during work time because we started talking about work. But then we kind of got into some personal stuff because it was like some problems she was having, I think, with somebody in her job and the circumstances in her job. And I actually did some coaching with her.
Oh.
She gave me her permission and I actually did some coaching and we cleared the vibration that was causing her to be in the place she didn't want to be in.
Very nice.
And when it was all done, she felt so good. And her next words to me were, "Wendy, why are you not doing this full time?"
Ah.
Because she goes, "This is your gift."
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I said, you know, I was so, content with being at a job that had a the security of a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I go, "Well, of course, one day I would like to be doing this full time, but this is where I am right now." And that was kind of an excuse to stay where I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never forget the energy, the sound of her voice, and the sincerity in what she said. Because she said, "What you just did for me in just these few short moments, that's a gift."
Like, very wow. Nice.
Very, so very if nice. She's listening, she'll know who she is. And yes, I am. I'm ready for that door to close on my current day job, because I'm feeling pulled. I mean, like a magnet, a giant magnet pulling me toward my future of where I'm doing the thing I love to do full time, because that's where my thoughts are. That's where my my intuitions are. It's like I'm getting new ideas left, right, and all over on how to help people. I'm seeing new patterns in behavior and how to help people shift faster than I've ever had the ability to do in the past. And so I'm so ready to work with people on a more regular basis instead of an intermittent thing, you know, like I have been doing. So
very nice.
I'm not that's a big reveal for me.
Yeah.
Because I've been withholding that for 4 months. And so now I've said it. And I even feel energetically it's necessary for me to have said it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because while keeping it in secret, there's an energy of secret that I don't think necessarily aligns completely with the door swinging wide open for me to be pursuing and living in my new dream business.
That makes sense. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if your friend is listening, and I just want to say welcome and thank you for listening. Thanks for joining our ever-growing family of listeners, because we love having you here. So
she was one of the people that did, I think, the first comment.
Oh,
with Lou.
Okay.
Short cookies.
Okay, very good. Well, then she has another benefit. She has the same name as my wife. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about something that we've talked about in the past, and now we're actually going to talk about it. If you're not totally confused, then let me explain what we're talking about.
Go for it.
We are talking about there is a 5-step process now that Abraham Hicks teaches about how to attract things into your life. It used to be a 3-step process. It's now 5-step. And the reason we decided that this is a good time to talk about it is because we kind of got a little bit of a nudge on the shoulder when I went to the Abraham workshop on Saturday, at which Abraham, during the presentations and talks and helping people in the hot seat and so forth, mentioned the 5-step process and walked through it. And I said, "Oh, I get it. We should really talk about that."
And you've been asking that we talk about this for quite some time, because there was a while that you only knew about the 3-step process.
That's right. Well, and I think most of us.
I introduced that now we've actually, Abraham has actually added step 4 and 5.
Right.
And now you've been kind of indoctrinated in it by going to the workshop this weekend.
Yeah. So we should probably start by reviewing the 3-step process, because Abraham's 3-step is a little bit different from what some other people teach. It's a little bit different from what was in The Secret, for instance. And I think everybody who does some kind of major presentation on the law of attraction, they all have their own different way of expressing it. But Abraham has a very specific way. So let's start with that.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of first start with just an overview, and then I'm going to go back and get into a little bit more detail.
Okay.
So when it was only a 3-step process, step 1 was asking. Okay, and I'm going to go back over and over, because I really want people to like kind of own this and start memorizing it. And hopefully you won't have to take notes, but if I do it over and over, you'll get it. So step 1 is asking. Step 2 is the answer. And step three is receiving that which you asked for. So what that means in a basic format is when you ask for something, there are multiple ways to ask. But how Abraham really talks about it is every time you're experiencing something that you do not prefer. Those are Walt's words. My words are that you don't desire. And Abraham's words are that are unwanted. So anytime you experience anything that is of a negative quality that you're not happy with, that's unpleasant to you, whether you're aware of it or not, you are vibrationally asking for something different. You're asking, sometimes it's the opposite of what you're experiencing. Sometimes it's completely different, but you're asking for something to be different than what it is, but you're asking for something that will be satisfying to you. So that's step one, is the ask.
Mm-hmm.
Then step two is the answer. And the good news is we as human beings have nothing to do with step two.
That's a good
because
thing.
Because source energy covers step two. And so how it's been explained for step two is that when you do the asking, in the moment you are experiencing what you don't like, your infinite, inner, broader being completely knows what it is that you desire. And they actually embody the vibrational essence of the solution to the problem. They embody the answer. So it's kind of like on a vibrational, spiritual level, the answer is already done. Now, step three is the receiving part. Now, that's back to us. It's our turn. And receiving is necessary for you to invite in the answer that your infinite being has already got, like in a holding zone, which Abraham calls the vortex. And so how we receive is if we're in, okay, let me back up. There is a vibrational energy that equals a state of receiving. So if you're still in the problem, if you're grumbling, if you're complaining, if you're, you know, just telling everybody you know the story of how somebody treated you wrong or how, you know, somebody was mean to you or whatever the story is that's not pleasant, whatever that experience is, if you maintain that and keep doing it over and over, you are not in the receiving state. You will not be able to receive a resolution. Because a resolution or a receiving is in a very different vibrational place than the problem. So the problem state is one energy and the solution state is a different one. And you cannot get the solution when you're living in the problem state.
Very true.
And so what Abraham suggests is that you do whatever it takes to either shift your attention toward what you really desire or distract yourself from the thing that's unpleasant and do something that makes you happy. And when you dilute the energy of what's unpleasant for long enough, and it, or not even long enough, where it's just pleasantly diluted, where it's really diluted, you then become receptive to receiving the answer. But really, if you're still, you know, harping on the problem, the solution's not going to show up. And so in Abraham world, step 1, 2, 3 is what they talked about for well over 25 years. That's all there was step 1, 2, and 3. And the truth is, there really is only those three steps. But because so many people who've been going to Abraham workshops are now seasoned veterans who have been students of Law of Attraction for such a long period of time, some people have come to a different level in their development. And so it was kind of an ask, if you will, of the students of Law of Attraction that kind of wanted more steps. And so step four is where you just get really, really good at step three. And even Abraham will say, it seems so odd that we should come up with a whole step just to say, get good at step three. But, and I'll explain this a little bit more in detail in a moment. And then step five is being back in step one, which is where you're going through the asking process because you're going through more unpleasant things. But this time when you go through the unpleasantness, you're okay with it. It doesn't ruffle your feathers. Kind of like I experienced today. I was sort of back in a step one experience where the system wasn't set up properly. I wasn't getting the customer service guy to understand me or to be able to like help fix my problem. So I was back in contrast, but I was okay with it. I wasn't angry. And I actually kind of like enjoyed watching how it could unfold in a way that I could still get a solution without going into incredible angst. So now I'm going to just read what Abraham said. I transcribed this from an Abraham CD as they explain these five steps, and hopefully this will put a little bit more texture to each one of the steps.
Sure.
So step one is ask, and contrast causes you to do that all day. Step two is answer, and source does that. And when you do, you ask a vibrational reality to be all lined up for you with all the cooperative components all in the queue. Step three is receiving. You've got to find some way by getting happy enough or quieting your mind enough to get into the receptive mode so that you can receive the ideas that your inner being is flowing to you. And your inner being will never just bypass you and create for you and just show you where it is, because truly there's no satisfaction in that. You want to mold creation with your own mind, because satisfaction only comes from you defining something that you want and then you finding a way to line up with it. That's the only place that true satisfaction comes from. Satisfaction is alignment with you and your source and your ideas for your expansion. Step four is you just getting really, really good at step three, which is getting into the receptive mode. And it's a funny thing to call a whole step for that, but it matters because you all are in step three accidentally from time to time. We want you to do it on purpose. And that's what step four is. It's mastering it. It's mastering the way you feel. Then step five is being back in step one, which is the asking through contrast, and this time being okay with it, because there will always be more contrast. And we don't want you to beat up on yourself for the new contrast, because the new contrast is often necessary for the new expansion. And so the creative process is more simple than you might know. Sometimes you blunder into the creative process accidentally, and we call that creating by default. And sometimes you do the creative process on purpose, and we call that deliberate creation. And we know satisfaction comes only from deliberate creation.
That's good. And I really did like – I actually have a question, too, that I should try to get you to answer before we go into the discussion part. Allowing, where does allowing fit into all this?
Step three, that's the receiving.
So in other words, allowing is a way to receive fully.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you can also look at allowing outside of the context of the steps or these particular steps. In allowing is where you're feeling more at peace with whatever is.
Okay.
Because I think that's also an aspect to it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also another way of saying you're not resisting anything.
Right. Yeah. That's the way I usually think of it. I think of allowing and resisting being like the two opposites, so to speak.
I would agree. And that's often what, you know, resisting often occurs. Well, actually, resisting is what happens when step one occurs. The only way you would even describe something, I would imagine, as something contrasting or something unpleasant is if you're resisting what is.
Interesting point. I never thought of it that way, but you're right. Because you really can't ask for something until you have a preference. And the only way you can have a preference is to say, I want that, but I don't want that. And the only way you can say, I don't want that is to resist it.
And it doesn't mean that it has to be some horrific resistant.
No, it could be anything.
It could just be, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Doesn't mean you have to like get tied up in knots over it. It could just be, yep, don't like that.
Yeah, but I don't like turquoise. I just don't like it.
And that's you defining a preference, and you're actually having an ask that whatever this thing is that's turquoise would either, one, not bother you, or two, become another color, you know, or three, allow you to look in some other direction where you see something else.
And by the way, I wasn't telling even the truth even. I wasn't even saying something that was true because I'm wearing a T-shirt that could be described as turquoise, so it wasn't even true.
Well, but, you know, like I would say when I was growing up, I remember, because this was just so funny, people would ask my brother, what's your favorite color? And he would say, brown. And they'd go, really? What's your second favorite color? Black. And I'm like, oh my God. For me, my most not favorite color, the color I like the least, is white or black. I don't like either one.
Hmm.
But I definitely have preferences. I know when it, because color is a big deal to me. So it's funny that you use turquoise as the example. Actually, my whole media room is turquoise.
Oh, is it really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the paint color is a kind of a teal turquoise. Mm-hmm. But it's like there are definite. Here's one. So we find this house and we know we want to buy it. And I said to my husband, the first thing that is going to be changed is the paint color. Because it's a big house, and not the whole house had been painted, because it was only a 3-year-old house, but the previous owners had started doing some customization, and all the colors they picked were in a yellow to beige to gold palette.
Hmm.
That has to be the number one palette that I resist the most.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yes. Hate those colors. Hate those. And I even remember as we were moving our refrigerator in, they used the wall behind the refrigerator to like paint different colors to decide which tone they wanted.
Right.
And there were like 4 or 5 different colors that went from kind of like a pale mustard color to a dark mustard gold. And I was like, oh my God, I just hate all of those colors. It's not that the house was bad. I mean, I love the house layout. And if it was somebody else's home living here, it's lovely because I could still find the beauty in those colors.
Mm-hmm.
They just were not the preference for what I want to surround myself with.
Right, sure.
Those colors don't resonate for me. So that to me is contrast. But mm-hmm. Again, it wasn't like I was traumatized.
No.
I wasn't abused. You know, I hadn't gotten a traffic ticket, you know, my house hadn't been like hit by a car.
In other words, the color police didn't come by and give you a citation for picking the wrong color.
Exactly. So, I mean, contrast can be anything on a spectrum from mildly annoyed to devastating. It could be anywhere in between. It's all what meaning do you give to it.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, it's all a step one moment, because whenever you experience something you do not like, you are always vibrationally asking for what you prefer.
Now, the other thing I like about this fourth step is it's not just more of the third step. It's like raising your vibration in the third step. It's like taking that third step to a higher level. Because once you get that higher level, at least what Abraham was saying to us on Saturday, once you get it up there and your vibration, your feeling state is at a really good feeling place, that's the time to do step 5, which is go back to number 1 and do your next ask. In other words, you're asking from a higher vibrational place.
But this time, like what I read in step 5, was there are 2 kinds of asking. There's the kind that comes from just you walk into it. It happens by default.
Mm-hmm, right.
And then there's the kind of asking that comes from a deliberate ask.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And
you know,
that's definitely the better one.
You just have to bump into something unpleasant.
Right.
You just went, I think I want something cool and new.
Which also ties into something that I was talking about with, was Cindy, I think? Cindy or Tom? I can't remember who I was talking about it with. Maybe it was you. I mean, they all blur together after a while. But I just love the idea of going after feeling good all the time. And I've had a number of people tell me, well, you really can't expect to feel good all the time because stuff happens in life. I mean, we live in a world of contrast, so stuff's going to happen and you're not going to feel good all the time. And I'm thinking, well, why? Why can't you experience the contrast and feel good at the same time? Why can't you do both? And that's exactly what you're pointing to. You can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And that is very much what these later steps are, which is the, you know, to me, step 4 and 5, and I've heard Abraham say this, they've added these steps because this is mastering.
Mm.
Law of Attraction, step 1 through 3.
Right.
This is coming, steps 4 and 5, I'm going to say it again. Step 4 is where you get really, really good at receiving, at being an open vessel to receive the things that are important to you that you want. Step 4 is being really, really good at knowing how to get your alignment into a good feeling place. Step four is about getting really, really good at tapping into your inner being and staying connected to the way your inner being is thinking about things. That's what step 4 is. It's getting really, really, really good at knowing how to remain in a happy state of being.
Mm, yeah.
And then step 5 is where one way you can do step 5 is where contrast just happens. Because like, you know, the anonymous person you're talking about, like, well, how can you really be happy all the time? Because life happens. Yes, exactly. But when you're in step 5, it's because you've already mastered the step 4 piece, which is knowing how to stay in a good place no matter what happens. It means when something's happening that's unpleasant, you have so mastered your ability to respond in a positive way that doesn't make you feel bad, that it's not a big deal. And to me, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because I recognize when, like, today's experience,
right,
that's why I shared it. It was such a big deal to me that I was going down a path I've been down many times before, and in the past, it always ended up really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a train wreck because I would be angry for a long time afterwards because things didn't go my way. And because, you know, their system wasn't set up in a way that I thought it ought to have been.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Today I'm like, I don't even have to look at their system and go, oh, it's not mature enough. Who cares? I got what I needed. I'm moving on. I had a delightful conversation with somebody. And I learned it wasn't even me being patient with him. It was moment, and I mean this, moment by moment, recognizing the natural inclination to get angry and just to start thinking fuss, like, what's wrong with these people? They're so stupid. My God, don't they know where we are in technology? Shouldn't they have been further along on this? My inclination, Walt, was to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I felt that, like, switch going toward that, I'd say, oh, no, that does not lead to any place that makes me feel good. What other options are possible to me? And part of it, I remember going, I'll just breathe for a moment, you know? And it's like, what can I do that feels good? And new ideas were coming to me, and the conversation went where I wanted. That was a step 5 moment.
Mm-hmm.
I had mastery in that step 1, asking, experiencing some contrast. I have mastery in that today because it didn't take me down a path that was ugly. I mean, I could have been on this call with you right now and been a bear to deal with had I gone down that other road.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I can sympathize. I mean, I had like 3 or 4 things that happened right in a row, one after another today. And they were all very much trying to my nerves and trying to my willingness to stay calm and so forth. And kind of like what you just described in your wording, and not so much in what you told in your story, I got to the point where I was really close to the part of the day where I would take a walk, and I couldn't wait to get out to do that, just so I could separate myself from that other feeling and get away from it. and calm down, which is exactly what I did. And I got like a quarter of the way through the walk and I was calm again. I was like, oh, okay. Now I can look at each of these situations. Okay, that one, well, all right, that was a little annoying, but I can just let that one go. No big deal. This one, that one needs to be repaired, but at least I know how to do it. I can repair that one. That one has to be done by the end of today. And I think the reason I was feeling the pressure was because I can't do it by the end of today because I don't have all the information yet. But you know what? I'm going to get all the information. Everything's okay. And so I was able to work through, you know, each of the things that happened and basically avoid the same kind of meltdown you were talking about avoiding.
Well, and you hit on a point that I was thinking, this is the, I know the motivation behind some of the frustration stuff now, like as you were talking, it was coming to me. When I'm wanting to do something, I personally have had such an agenda that it get done now.
Yes,
and,
me too.
And there was an unwillingness to wait for the solution to happen. Let's say tomorrow.
Yep.
Because I want it done now. And I realized that what's been happening for me personally in the last week that I've really taken note of is how things in a way are not happening on the timetable that I would have liked them to happen.
Yes, right.
But the way they're unfolding with incredible ease. So it's like I've sort of let go of my personal timetable and I've opened up to the timetable of the universe because I'm prioritizing ease and, yeah, just ease. I'm prioritizing ease and happiness over my agenda. And I don't know, I don't even know why my agenda was so gosh darn important. I don't know why it had to be done my way and it had to be done in my timing. But that was the place I was coming from. And instead, it's like, well, the truth was, even when I wanted it done my way and in my timing, it still didn't because I couldn't control other people and their systems.
Right.
And it still ended up taking longer. I was just frustrated through the entire process. Where now I'm letting go of my agenda has to be the only way because I really am giving preference to ease. I really like ease. It's really exciting to me. I love it. It's the ultimate win for me in life is when I go, this just happened and it was so easy. Wow. How can we do that again? And I have been asking that question. How can I do that again? And I keep doing it again and again.
Which is true allowing, by the way.
Oh, my agenda.
Oh, yeah. That's truly allowing. Because for me, allowing, like I said earlier, and I think you agreed, allowing is the direct opposite of resistance. And when we allow, we're basically letting go of the resistance. You let go of some big resistance. And you just said, go away, I'm done. I prefer the allowing. It's much more easy.
And, you know, I also want to just kind of add in here, even though we have these five steps, and it doesn't matter if any of our listeners are at the point that they're still working with step one through three and they're struggling through it. You know what? So did I. So did Walt. We all do.
I still do. I mean, it's not like I'm perfect at it. There are some days where three just seems impossible, and I just have to slow down and say, well, okay, I know I've done this before. How do I do this again?
Yeah, and what the point I want to make is that we all get it when we get it. And the pathway, Walt, that you get it is not the same pathway that I got it because my life experiences are different.
Right.
And every one of us have different life experiences, and we all come to a place of desire for something different. Like, oh God, I'm now ready to do things differently. And even though I was introduced to Law of Attraction in 2002, it didn't seem like a big deal to me then. I didn't really understand it. And what I think is humorous is when I was really ready, it was around 2007, and then I started like devouring everything I could from Abraham Hicks and other sources. And when I go back and think about what I learned in 2002, I go, oh, I get that now. I get what they were trying to say, but I didn't get it in 2002.
Exactly.
I did not have enough of the foundational belief systems to support what I was hearing in 2002. In 2002 what I was hearing was like, yeah, that's a pipe dream. Thank you very much. I don't see how that's a surefire way to get what you want. I see that as put it on your wish list because I didn't get it because I didn't have the support, the belief systems. How did I get the belief systems that I have now? I've listened to positive teachers, including Abraham, for years. And I've been willing to say my way wasn't working. What else is there? What other different ways of thinking at things is available to me that I have not allowed myself to look at before because I thought I knew it all, or I thought I had the right way, or, you know, or I poo-pooed those other ideas. And I looked at many of the ideas that I, quote, poo-pooed once upon a time and go, oh my gosh, this is the key to my happiness today.
Yeah.
You know, like Abraham talking about, if you make happiness a priority in your life, everything else falls into place. And I remember going, that's such a crock. What are they talking about? That seems stupid. It seems trite and not real. I mean, that's really how extreme I had quite some judgment on that. But after about 3 years of hearing them say it, I finally went, well, they keep talking about it. There must be something in it that like has some substance. And I just said, I'm willing to consider it, even though right now it doesn't make any sense to me. And Then it was like, I don't know, however much time went by after that, I went, oh my gosh, I am making happiness a priority. When did that creep in?
Yeah.
But I asked for it. It's like, I want the benefit of what they're talking about. And so somehow, law of attraction, the universe, my infinite being, somehow circumvented, went all the way around all these things that I had so much judgment on. No, I'm not going to believe that because it's stupid. And they managed to let it slip in other ways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had the same thing.
It's a solid belief now.
Well, there it is. That's the word. In fact, that word is at the center of the one thing that has resonated with me more than anything else that Abraham Hicks or any other guru has ever said about this whole topic. And that is their phrase, a belief is a thought you keep thinking over and over again. Mm-hmm. And when I first heard that one, that one just kept going around and around in my head because it just resonated in a big, big way. I began to understand that's how you make the changes. That's how you end up getting from point A to point B. That's how Wendy ends up starting where she is in 2002 and ends up where she, well, maybe not ends up, but leads to where she is currently in 2018 in terms of her understanding and development. That's where Walt actually finds that there's a way out of this dilemma that he originally thought he was in about, you know, I can't change my emotional set point. I don't have a way to do that. But by continuing to just think the thoughts about how you could do it, the belief started to take hold. And I continue to be amazed by that phenomenon. Beliefs really are thoughts that you keep thinking over and over again, even if you're starting from square minus 10, where you don't believe it at all. You just keep thinking it over and over again. It actually becomes true.
But you know, when you look at something that you say, I don't believe that, that's a crock of crap, you know, I don't believe that at all. I will say, when I was saying that, I had some really negative feelings.
Mm.
Well, those negative feelings were indicators that I wasn't thinking the same way my inner being was thinking.
Nope.
So in that moment, I actually was asking for something that felt better when I thought on that thought, which is, what is the thought? I just lost it.
Well, it's probably just as well because I do have another belief that I need to introduce. I believe we're out of time.
Well, we know I can talk about just about anything at length, so it'll come back to me tomorrow and we'll get rolling with it.
Well, that's reasonable.
Right.
Before we leave, how does somebody reach out to you if they want a little more personal attention?
They can just go to wendydillard.com.
And with that, we say we hope that you'll come back tomorrow. Are you coming back tomorrow?
I'm coming back tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to come back tomorrow. We hope you come back too. Just join us tomorrow here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye for now.